We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Back in on a Wednesday, it's Fesco in the Morning along with Bob Fesco and Ryan Wachowski. I'm Josh Klingler, and it's our pleasure to welcome on. It's the Weekly Chat with Royals manager Ned Yost.
And it's all brought to you by Dick Smith Ford on 350 Highway in Raytown. Good morning, Ned. How you doing today?
Doing good. How about you?
Doing all right, man. I don't know if you heard the big news, but the United States, Canada, and Mexico awarded the World Cup for 2026. Now, I'm not going to ask you to pick a team or anything like that, but you kind of, I think, may have a unique kind of perspective on this. You were in Atlanta when the Olympics were there in 1996 coaching for the Braves. So what was that like to have the world in your city for a couple of weeks?
It was pretty amazing. The problem was we weren't there. You know, being in Atlanta with the Braves at that time, we went on like a 21-day road trip. So we were like everybody else, just watching it from the news every day what was going on. So we had no stadium to play in because they were using every stadium that they had. But it was really neat the way that they had it all spread out. I mean, it went from Cobb County and the Conyers. You know, they had venues all over the city, and it was really a really neat deal.
What kind of buzz did that create for the town, basically for that entire year that you guys were there? Not necessarily for the baseball team, but just for the city in and of itself.
Well, I mean, it was huge, but the economic impact was unbelievable. The stuff you know that they were doing to prepare for this. I mean, for a year out, you could see them start to spruce up all the freeways and all the highways with, you know, new plants and new landscaping and, you know, just cleaning everything up, all the new venues, the new stadiums, the swimming pools, the horse venues, everything that the volleyball venues, everything that went on, you know, it was just a lot of work. And I mean, it was, you know, it was a big process. It was a 3 or 4 year ordeal where they started and, by the time the Olympics got here, everything was done just right. But, there was a lot going on there for a couple of years.
And you guys ended up getting a new baseball stadium out of the deal, too. They turned in what was Olympic Stadium into the Turner Field. And obviously that's not there anymore as they've moved to a new park then. But you guys got a new baseball stadium out of the deal, too.
Yeah, we did. And actually it is still there. You know, it's only 21 years old, that stadium. And what they did, it was really kind of cool. They came in, the engineers designed a baseball stadium, and then once they got the baseball stadium designed, they came in and then redesigned it to be an Olympic stadium so that when they were done with the Olympic stadium, they could take all that away and it would be an absolutely gorgeous baseball stadium. And that's what it ended up being. A great stadium for years and years, and it's still there. And I think Georgia State plays baseball, and they do concerts and stuff there. But it's still there on site.
So when you look back at that time, what do you think that did for Atlanta itself as a city, like from just a reputation standpoint, maybe an image standpoint as well, to have that kind of event there?
Well, I mean, it kind of brought you on the world stage, but you remember, too, that's when they had those bombings.
Yeah.
When they were, so that was, there was so much stuff going on at that time. The games and then, the bombings were going off and, it was just, there was a lot of hecticness. But, it just still today, when you drive by the stadium, you'll drive by and see that Olympic torch. They moved it over there by the stadium, and it just sits there and it's kind of a reminder of, the Olympics were there and it was in a great Olympics and a great time.
And the 21 days on the road really didn't affect you. Still won 96 that year and made it to the World Series, huh?
Yeah, we were a pretty good team back then.
I was just thinking, they kick you out for 21 days. You have to find a way to rent your place out to somebody and make some coin while you're not allowed to be there. There probably would have been someone that would have rented your pad for a lot of money.
Yeah, I think that was happening back then. I could, you know, you hear little stories about that, but yeah, we had I couldn't displace my whole family, so we just stayed where we were.
Talk with Ned Yost here on 610 Sports Radio, as you do every Wednesday at 9. And yesterday was bizarre with that baseline deal. And after the game, you said there's a lot of things that should be reviewable. So what do you think should be reviewable in baseball?
Oh, there's so much more that can be reviewable. That play right there is absolutely reviewable. I mean, there's plenty of camera angles. And, of course, when we went back and looked at the camera angle, you know, the rule is 3 feet. You can't veer from your fielder sets the baseline, and then it's 3 feet from that point. And Eske was in a spot. Now, your arm length is about 3 feet. So once you get outside that arm length, you've violated the rule.
Yep.
And, of course, he got there, Eske reached, and he jumped back probably 5 feet. So I think once you look at the replay, obviously you could tell that he was out of the baseline. But there's traps on the infield. There's, foul tips, you can look at and see, stuff like that. But, I just think there's a lot more now with the angles. Foul ball down the line. Is he running out of the 45-foot line? There's just a lot of things that they can see on video that's not reviewable that should be reviewable, in my estimation.
I think at times, Ned, and not just in baseball, but maybe in sports, we make sports sometimes too hard and too difficult. I heard you with Ryan on the pregame show yesterday talking about how, like, the sabermetricians don't care if you strike out or whatever, but then they value the strikeouts per nine innings for the pitcher, which kind of sends a mixed message. And I think with something like this, if it's reviewable, if it's a questionable call, why not just review it? We're creating too much thinking time in sports these days.
Well, I think we are too, but the whole idea behind instant replay was to get the play right.
Mm-hmm.
So really what they're saying is, okay, we've gone for years and years, with this system, we want to get the play right, but here's the thing, we only want to get half of it right. And, again, there's so many more things that they can review that needs to be reviewable. And I think last night would have been a perfect example, of something that could have been reviewed and would have been turned around, which would have made a difference in our game.
Well, and I also think, too, like, baseball's so hung up on this, let's speed up the game. Really, another 3 minutes to review a play that had a determining outcome of the game? Are we really speeding the game up that much where somebody's going to notice an extra 3 minutes that's spent there on something like that?
A pretty big play.
Yeah, and again, it's not even going to be 3 minutes. When you look at that, it's pretty obvious that, it's outside of the 3 foot rule that the baseline was set, and it's, it's more than 3 feet. So umpires can look at it. I mean, we looked at it, and it took us about 20 seconds. So, I mean, it's not even going to take 3 minutes to get it right.
No, I agree. And I think also, too, with the way that sports is changing, we were talking about it yesterday. You know how NASCAR is doing the stages now, right? Do you understand the stages in NASCAR? Because we don't. We have no idea what that means. But we know it's good, right?
Yeah. What they're doing is they're just racing. A lot of times they'd have a 500-mile race, and like anybody else, you're going to try to save your equipment for the first 450 miles. So you're just going to run. You don't care if you're running 10th. You don't care if you're running third. You're just going to take it easy. These staging points now make the competitors race three times during the race to get points. And it's all important. So, they get to that stage, they're trying to get first, second, or third because they're going to get points for it. So it just makes the racing a little more interesting.
What would you think about baseball doing stages? 4 40-game stages. If you win 3 stages, you make it into the playoffs.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I've never thought about that, but that's not a bad idea. It's one that shows some thought and some free thinking a little bit. So yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, just for the fact that 106, like in America today, you know, nobody has the attention span to do anything, right? So for 162 games, and then the last week of the season is very exciting, but then you've got, you know, times in June where it's just not that exciting, or you guys don't get off to a good start, but maybe you have a great, you know, second half and you weren't playing great enough to make up for the deficit in the first half. But if you have it broken up into stages, if you win a stage, you're going to put yourself in position to get into the postseason. And also, I think it keeps the fans interested a long time, too. Like, say we could wipe out the first 40 games that you guys played and start over from zero. That creates a new type of, you know, interest, I think, from the fans. And, hey, the Royals have another chance. Even with a bad start, they got another chance because stage two is here.
I'd vote for it. I like it. I think that's a great idea.
Well, good.
Call the commissioner.
I will, and I'll give credit to Ryan Wachowski, our producer, for coming up with that idea yesterday. We were talking about ways to do it.
It seems it's worked in the minors to create some excitement, right? First half, second half seems to have been an okay way to go about it.
Yeah, it only makes sense. I mean, it does. It makes perfect sense. You know, break the season up into, you know, three sections or so, and, you know, it's a good idea. I like that idea.
All right, good. We'll continue to push it, and we'll use you as the face person, then the champion this, because you know you're the World Series champion and all. Besides that World Championship, I had a moment last night. I'm coaching the girls' 7 and 8 year old softball team. Every kid for the first time this season got a hit in practice. I was so happy. Like, it was so awesome as a coach to see these kids finally get it. You know, when the light goes on. Besides winning that World Series, what's been the proudest thing you've been about, or the best thing, the coolest thing you've seen happen as a manager in baseball?
Oh, that's hard. I don't know. You know, it there's probably a lot of them, but you know, it's like you said right there. It's you get wrapped up in their achievements and their accomplishments. You know, I think the first time, you know, Salvi and Gordy and Greg Holland made the All-Star team, that I was really proud. The first time we had three Gold Glove winners, I was really proud of that. And not for me, but for them to see how far they've come and to get special recognition on, something that they've done at the major league level was special. So it's a lot of those types of things, you know, seeing guys make All-Star teams, seeing guys win Gold Gloves, seeing guys win Silver Sluggers, those are special.
Talking with Ned Yost here on 610 Sports Radio, and I know Vern asked you if you're spending more time in the clubhouse yesterday, and you said, where am I supposed to change? You know, like, it was just a tremendous answer. Not counting questions that Josh and I have asked you over the years, what's, like, the dumbest, most bizarre question you've gotten?
Oh, man. I don't know. I get so many of them. It's hard to remember all of them. And I'm doing better. I used to really just, you know, if it was kind of a dumber type question, it was like, really? But, you know, now I try to have a little fun with it. And I knew what Vern was talking about yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, am I watching more the players getting down in the locker? I knew that, but you know, the way that he stated it, it was just, something we could have some fun with. But I don't know. You get them every once in a while where they're just so obvious that, it's just like, why do I need to answer that? And anybody will know the answer to that question. But I think what I've come to understand here is that they just need a quote. You know, they need a quote for their paper, and if you just give them one, they go away happy. So I try to, you know, be respectful more when the questions aren't, what I think are stimulating enough. But, there's a bunch of them. Trust me, I get them every day.
All right, so if you're Vern today or somebody else that's there at 4:30, you know, getting ready to ask you a question, what would you ask you today?
What would I ask me today?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good question. I haven't even really thought about that.
Thank you. Yeah.
See how
hard it is, right?
And see, that's part of the problem, is that in order to be a good reporter, you've got to be prepared. When you show up, you've got to be prepared. You've got to have questions that you want to ask, and they've got to be well thought out, and they've got to have some road to be led down instead of just asking a question just to be heard, right? And that's what I like about Vern is that he's got questions every single day, and for the most part, they're pretty good questions. You know, they're questions that our fans want to know about. You know, it's just they're not like, oh, do you know Mike Moustakas' favorite color? It's like, what difference does that make? You know, and they're good questions, and you know, they're well thought out questions. So that's the hard part about being a reporter is coming in and being prepared every single day.
So what is Moose's favorite color?
I don't know. I'm just saying those are the types of questions you get.
Well, I'll be out there later today, so I want the answer to that one.
We'll find out later today in the Royals clubhouse.
Yeah, we want to know. Ned, thanks as always. We appreciate it. See you out at the ballpark and go get one tonight.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Take care. Ned Yost with us here on 610 Sports Radio, all brought to you by Dick Smith Ford on 350 Highway in Raytown.
I bet it's mauve.
I think mauve is a good color. Do you remember that show with B. Arthur called Mauve?
That was Maude. We've already gone over Maude. This.
We've been over this many times.
And then there was Maude.
Yes.
And then there's mauve.
Yeah.
Taupe. Isn't that a color?
Did we even talk about the ball club today? No. I don't think so, no.
What ball club?
I'm fine. It was a good interview.
And I think my favorite part was he's like, I'm really trying to be better.
Yeah.
I'll try to have some fun with the dumb question.
I think it would be fun to have Ned just like answer Royals Twitter questions one day.
Boy.
Just to see like the stuff that goes on.
We don't want to keep him in a good mood.
Yeah.
We've cleared one hurdle, but we need to pitch FIFA for Kansas City next.
Fesco in the morning, powered by the Jewish Community Center, 610 Sports Radio.
Way to go, 610. We thank those of you joining us on the fantastic radio.com app. Great place to catch the feed, the podcast, all those things.
This whole Alexa section has got me out of whack because we have a girl on our softball team, Alexis, and I kept calling her Alexi.
Hey, did she respond right away?
Of course she did.
Okay, that's good. She doesn't. Probably.
Hey, she's one of four. She's lucky somebody's even coming close to her name, right? She's the youngest.
Realistic. More realistic that it doesn't respond to you when you call something by its Alexa or Siri name.
I told you they all got hits yesterday. It was very, very fulfilling for me as a coach.
That's good coaching, I guess. We've cleared one hurdle. We need to pitch, though, Kansas City to FIFA. The World Cup is coming to North America, Canada, United States, Mexico, winning the bid for the 2026 World Cup.
That is correct.
Kansas City, one of the 23 host sites that was a part of the combined bid. But not for sure that they're going to get World Cup games. Arrowhead Stadium would be the venue if they're to host World Cup games. We might not find that out until 2020, as Kathy Nelson of the Sports Commission joined us earlier in the show, told us here on 610 Sports Radio. So we asked her, what's the one thing you're talking to FIFA or would pitch FIFA on when you're selling Kansas City?
For us, when you think about our venues and, again, the location, you know, Wall Avenue Airport, there's not a one thing, and that's what's so great about our city, being the soccer capital of the world and our fans. There's not one thing that I would tell you is our biggest item we're pushing forward, because when you think about our vision, there's so many things that come with that. So apologies, I'm not answering your question directly, but I don't know that I would pinpoint just one thing that makes our city unique.
Many things to pitch when it comes to Kansas City, and I think that's a good thing.
I think it is a very good thing, and I also think what a good thing is the fact that whoever decided to start calling us the soccer capital of the world, it's worked and it's stuck, and we need to push that and push that and push that and push that.
How can the soccer capital of the world be located in a country where soccer isn't even the most popular sport?
It doesn't matter, man. It doesn't matter what you do. It's all about the perception.
Oh,
and
if
you just start telling people that we're the best at this,
people
and the
believe
best at
stuff.
That, people believe
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
Where have you been for the last couple of years?
Oh, okay. I'm just
I mean, you can get people that
sometimes
really
I get caught up in these facts.
I mean, look what we have. We have one of the best stadiums in all of the MLS, if not the best stadium in the Major League Soccer, with the fan amenities that are insane. That every team in professional sports is now calling Kansas City and Sporting KC and saying, "How do we get like you? We want to do things like you're doing at your stadium." We were innovative. Our folks here in Kansas City, innovative in creating that environment and creating that stadium. Innovative and forward thinking in the training facility that they've had. They're innovative and forward thinking in the way that they deal with players and the way that they recruit players, and everything around Sporting Kansas City is so innovative. And then you look around Kansas City. I mean, you go out to the 135th Street and see the fields that are out there and the fields that are all over this town now for youth soccer and the academies and things like that are sprouting up. I mean, we do have so much to offer when it comes to the game of soccer right here in Kansas City. It's really spectacular. So I think that's a good narrative to push. Somebody's got to be considered the soccer capital of the world. Why the hell not us? And continue to push that narrative and tell people that we are the soccer capital of the world. I think it's a great, 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 great moniker to have, and it's going to help us, I think, in this whole, you know, now push, if you will, Josh, to get World Cup games here to Kansas City.
It was giving her a hard time because she talked about they were part of a unified bid. They were all hoping to get the bid to North America. Now we splinter off. Now we're fighting for our own territory here.
Yeah, sure,
so
we
try to get got to try to get Kansas City firmly in the mix for hosting some
games. Now it's every man for themselves.
Of the World Cup. There are what we think are a bizarre group of Royals fans out there that need to be stopped. Find out if it's you next.
From the MVP Electric Heating and Cooling Studios, Fesco in the Morning, powered by the J.
That's just a fantastic promo. Can I just...
I love it. Royals baseball starts with Vern.
Indeed. Vern tonight at 6. You've asked for it. For the late crowd, it's Shouted Out 2 coming up in 5 minutes.
Oh,
an experimental
baby
plan here on Fesco in the Morning. 69306 on the Pepper Jack's Grill Famous Philly text line. Anything you want us to riff about, text it in, 69306. We do it early in the show, and our late show people say, "Why don't you do something for us?" So we're
the
trying
early
to
people are mad when we don't do something for them. The late people get mad when we don't do something. We're trying to benefit and really scratch the backs of both sides.
I mean, we tried to give away tickets. That was the complaint, that we never give anything away in the 6 a.m. hour.
Right.
We tried that. Nobody was awake.
Right.
Nobody wanted to do anything.
Right.
There's no pleasing you people.
There really isn't. It's very tough. Very tough job.
This is good for the people, though.
It is. So we'll do
extra opportunities
out in a
couple and extra shouted out edition coming up.
I got to be honest. I kind of like the idea.
Okay.
I think it's got some staying power.
All right. All right, you have a question for some particular group of Royals fans.
Right. Who are these people?
Who are these people? Why are you doing this to yourselves?
There was an article at MLB traderumors.com, I think is their website, MLBtraderumors.com, and it says this: giving up lefty Sean Manaea helped the Royals win a World Series, but his rise in Oakland has surely left some KC fans wondering what might have been. As The Athletic writes in a subscription piece, GM Dayton Moore has no regrets whatsoever about how things turned out. Nor should he. He explains how it was that the ball club. He explains how it was the ball club that sent Manaea to the A's for utility star Ben Zobrist, saying that, quote, Billy Bean was persistent while the Royals, quote, weren't going to be outbid for a key asset after coming up just shy the season prior. Now, though, Moore says the goal is to create a broad-based array of talent that will allow the organization to, quote, compete for a long time, hopefully without pursuing such drastic win-now swaps. Well, when you get close, you're always going to have a drastic win-now spot. I want to know who the people are when it says some KC fans wondering what might have been. Who are those people that are sitting around today going, boy, I wish we didn't give up Sean Manaea in 2015 to win a world championship?
Yeah, I don't understand. If you were to give up a piece and one, it didn't work, or two, you gave it up for a piece that didn't really contribute.
Right.
Say like the year before, no offense to Josh Willingham, but what did he really give you?
Not much.
Okay, not a lot. Say you gave up something like that for a Josh Willingham.
Right.
Or, I don't know.
Raul Ibanez in that year.
Something.
Well, he did give the speech.
Yeah, he gave the speech. He paid off in some way.
Yeah. But,
and it didn't work out. Or you won, say you won the World Series, but that piece really didn't factor in. I could see how you could be like, oh boy, it would still be good to have him.
Right.
But it was Ben Zobrist.
Right.
Who everyone wanted re-signed after the World Series.
Correct.
Based on the contributions he gave you down the stretch of that season.
The man named his baby Royal.
Okay? You wanted to be part of your future. Mm-hmm. It worked.
Right.
There's no looking back.
Right.
There's no need to look back. He was a major contributor for a World Series champion.
Stop looking back.
You're good.
Right.
Sean Manaea could turn out to be good. So what?
So what? We have banners.
Sean Manaea could be. There are flags flying at Coffin Stadium.
Right.
That should be good enough.
And how much different is this ball club today with Sean Manaea on it? What are we, 25 and 43 and supposed to 23 and 40? I mean, like,
without a World Series title.
Without a World Series title.
Without Ben Zobrist around for the tail end of that season and the World Series.
That's exactly
the playoffs,
right?
And the World Series.
Because there are some that believe the Royals may not make it to the World Series if they don't have Ben Zobrist, you know, that year contributing what he contributed. He was a major part of bringing a world championship to Kansas City. So I want to know what people are pining for Sean Manaea and wondering what could have been. I'll tell you what could have been. Four more wins this year and no world championship. That's what could have been with Sean Manaea on this team right now. You would be looking at basically the exact same thing that we're looking at right now with this ball club. Sans World Series championships.
Yes.
I like the World Series championship.
I do.
I loved those 2 years.
There are plenty of times,
I wouldn't give anything back for them.
Plenty of times people have made moves that haven't worked.
All the time.
I think it's a fair question to at least wonder if you could have won a World Series without Ben Zobrist.
I don't think you could have.
I don't think you could have.
I think it's a fair question to even wonder if you could have won a World Series without Johnny Cueto. He certainly didn't help get you there.
No, but he did when it mattered most in the postseason.
Yeah, what was it, Game 4? Of the ALDS, mm-hmm. and Game 2 of the World Series.
Right.
Those were the two games you traded for Johnny Cueto.
Right. So. You legitimately traded for two games, and what you needed, you got.
You beat the Mets in 5 games, though.
Right.
Like, did you need Johnny? He won one for you.
Yeah.
You couldn't have picked up another win somewhere along the way. Now, that ALDS game, I'll listen to you more on that one because he had to be nails for that game.
Well,
then you wouldn't be in the World Series.
It was a Game 5 of the ALDS.
Game 5.
It was game, yeah. Because he pitched here.
That's right. Game 4 was obviously the one that happened down in Houston. No, you needed both of those guys. You needed that dynamic of those guys out there and how much Cueto helped Yordano Ventura that year as well become a better pitcher and how much Ben Zobrist gave you that veteran presence inside that locker room that could do anything for you and came in at a time when Alex Gordon was hurt. I mean, I think anybody sitting back and pining again like that Sean Manaea is this difference maker in this organization would be so much better off with Sean Manaea right now as opposed to trading him and getting a world championship for Ben Zobrist. That's just not the case. You shouldn't be doing that.
I mean, everybody wants to follow this like butterfly effect too. There's a text right now playing devil's advocate. Could Manaea have taken the starting role after Ace's passing, freeing up money from Hamill to spend on free agents like Hosmer? Well,
not really.
You wouldn't have a World Series.
Right.
That's what it took to get you a big piece of winning a World Series.
Right.
And
that's good enough.
Can we all stop real quick and also realize nobody knows really what Sean Manaea is? He threw that no-hitter earlier in the year, and everybody got all worked up.
Right.
You don't know what the future holds for Sean Manaea. Now, 10 years from now, if we're looking back and kicking ourselves, then by all means, we can have this conversation.
I don't think you can then.
But 2 years removed?
I honestly don't think you can have that conversation then.
Yeah, I'm with Josh on this one. I think you're wasting
a lot of time and energy.
You've won titles. You got championships. The Oakland A's don't have any championships.
Oakland A's have made so many moves
And how many titles have they won?
To push for stuff. And hasn't paid off in anything.
I mean, when was the last time the A's won something? 1989? They had that 3-year stretch where they played the Dodgers, the Reds, and the Giants in the World Series.
That Bash Brother era was so good.
It was, but so unfulfilling. They only had the one championship to show for it. What if they had Sean Manaea back then? Hey, let's shout it out. Part due here on 610 Sports Radio on the Pepper Jack Grill Famous Philly text line. All brought to you by Kriegel Mesh Diamonds. Check them out at KriegelMeshDiamonds.com.
This guy just giving away ads.
Hey, take care of the people that take care of you.
That's fair. Text line, want to know if we ever got to the bottom of the who versus whom usage.
No, we never will.
I saw various texts and even some tweets that said yes, you were using it correctly, or no, you were not. So I have no idea.
That's one that I don't want to know the answer to. Scholars will debate it, and I don't think there really is a correct answer.
So that's fine.
No scholars are going to debate that, by the way.
You give them a grant, they will.
Yeah.
Any scholar will debate anything
for a grant.
That is true, actually. In Jurassic Park 2, Dr. Grant flew all the way over to that scary island for grant money. time. Full disclosure, I watched Jurassic Park 2 last night.
I gotcha. Nice.
How many paper towels is too many in the bathroom?
I use 3 because they're very thin, and 1 doesn't do the justice. 2's not quite enough. 3 is the perfect one. That's why if you buy better paper towels, you use less ultimately in the long run. Like my friend's wife got great paper towels. I love her paper towels. And I only have to use 1 slice of a paper towel when I'm over at their house.
Expensive stuff.
1 slice of a paper towel?
Totally depends on
off a block.
Yeah. Totally depends on the quality, yes. But I try to be a 2 towel only. Limit myself to 2 paper towels.
The answer we were looking for was 3. Who wins in a fight, Fesco or Klingler?
I think it would be a very bad fight to watch. Yeah, 2 guys with dad bods beating each other.
A bad sports fight?
Yeah, that would be really bad.
Are you familiar with the term slap fest?
Yes, that's exactly what it would be.
Be a real tickle fest.
Not
over
like
there.
That guy at the Independent League game who body slammed that one dude from the other team. Did you see that? The former big league pitcher pitching for some Independent League team now. Guy charged the mound. He body slammed him.
Good for him.
It's great.
Good for him. Text line reminding us Jonathan Sanchez once threw a no-hitter. This is very true.
Yeah.
Best egg style.
You think he's still got that orange Lamborghini?
Jonathan Sanchez?
Yeah.
God, I hope so. The best style of egg.
White. Egg whites.
Like scrambled egg whites?
Yeah, like it was some, like a veggie omelet. I like the hard-boiled. I do kind of like the over-easy
egg. I like the over-easy, yeah.
My grandmother used to call that egg lightly turned.
Used to be sunny side up for me. I used to like that a lot, but now I'm an over easy person.
Oh yeah?
Yep.
Well, I gotta flip it at least once. It freaks me out.
I actually like over hard.
What?
Where the yolk actually cooks itself.
Everybody
in
does.
There.
That's the goal.
Okay.
But
fan of the poached?
You let it cook a little bit longer after you flip it?
So it's not runny.
Oh,
you know?
No. I like the runny yolk.
Okay. Oh, that's right. It was Jurassic Park 3. I just had it on in the background. Does Sean Levine use the same voice in person that he does on the radio?
Yes.
100%. That's not a bit.
No.
It's not a bit at all.
So Bob and I, actually.
Yeah.
By the way, poached egg was the answer.
All 3 of us here also use the same voice in person.
I do, actually. Yep.
I was talking about parboiling eggs yesterday.
Parboil?
Yeah, where you halfway cook them. And the yolk, so it's like a hard boil on the outside, but the yolk is runnier on the inside.
If I live in an apartment complex, I'm not even going to acknowledge what you just said. If I live in an apartment complex, can I take my trash out shirtless?
Yes.
You can do whatever you want shirtless.
Hell yeah. Yeah, why not?
Except for go get a sandwich.
Yeah, no shirt, no shoes, no service.
Why would that be an issue? Like, you're clearly going to do it, so why are you asking?
I'm just making sure it's okay. You know, they want our opinions.
I think that ship has sailed for that person.
You know what? It's 9:42. We can get this one. And groaning, grunting, and gasping while taking a poo in public.
Sometimes you have to.
There's noises that you make.
Yeah.
I have noticed that. The other day I was at a urinal and I did like that.
Yeah.
Noise.
You don't do it consciously.
I was like, why did I do that?
If you don't want to make those noises when you go, do yourself a favor, drink some hot coffee, run around the building, and you'll be just fine.
I disclosed this to you guys the other day, too. I don't know why, but right at the end of the pee, I always go to tiptoes.
Like I think a lot of us do that.
Like it's,
I do. Everyone,
like it's
yeah,
getting
sure.
the last drop or something
out. Follow through.
It's the follow through. Yeah, no, it's fine. Just go all the way through.
Ugh. Apparently, people call that a 6-minute egg, by the way, Bob. The parboil.
The parboiled egg, yeah. You can parboil a steak, too.
Can you scampi a steak?
I've got this scampi powder at home. I scampi everything now. I'm not afraid. You give me something, I'm scampiing it.
Mm. Final one for you guys. How many beers should I drink before mowing?
All of them.
Yes, is the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Before mowing, you get a pre-mow couple beers in you. And then
I feel two to three is the correct answer.
One mid-mow when you're starting to sweat, you know, a little bit. It's getting
mid-mow.
A little hot.
How long does it take you to mow your grass?
Well, you got front
mid-mow,
yard, backyard.
What, do you live in
Columbia? Mow the front yard, have a beer, and mow the backyard. Yeah.
You take a break.
I don't stop. I can't stop. Won't stop.
It's the perfect time to do it. Perfect time to have a beer.
Nice reference.
Mid-mow. Can't stop, won't stop.
Get it.
Why are you shrugging your shoulders like that? It is the unofficially unsanctioned Shouted Out Part 2.
Brought to you by Kriegel Mesh Diamonds. Check them out at KriegelMeshDiamonds.com. Get twice the engagement ring, guys,
Damn,
for half
Bob.
The price of those big box stores.
Catch a fade route one of these days.
Ned Yost joined us earlier. He's got some ideas to help baseball get it right next.
Fesco in the morning, powered by the Jewish Community Center, 610 Sports Radio.
Stay tuned. Coming up live, 10 o'clock, press conference from Arrowhead Stadium. Arrowhead, one of the potential host sites for now the 2026 World Cup.
Terrific.
Kansas City a step closer to that with the U.S. joint bid with Canada and Mexico being selected today by FIFA.
I think I did a good job.
We gonna screw that one up by fighting with Canada, you thought? Nope, we didn't.
We got through that hurdle. Now we have to fight with other cities across America.
Which is fine.
To be part of this thing. But Arrowhead, part of the mix, and we'll hear from the folks out at Arrowhead coming up live at 10 o'clock. Also, be back out there for coverage after minicamp today, about 1 o'clock here on 610 Sports Radio. So all kinds of stuff coming up.
I got to think, with Kathy Nelson on our side, she's ready to rock and roll and pitch this thing. So I feel good about us getting games here in Kansas City. I do.
I hope so.
As long as the NFL's not in charge.
Yeah, as long as the NFL's not dangling us around for a while. Ned Yost joined us earlier in the show. If you missed the entire interview, you can check it out in the on-demand section at 610sports.com.
This was one of my favorite chats with Ned in the years we've been doing it, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
I say that every week, so it's hard.
I know, because he's really good. Yeah. I mean, like people are going to look at, oh, the team's not playing well. Why do you want to talk to Ned? We uncover new ground with Ned all the time, and come to find out, like, Ned's older, obviously. He's in his 60s. But he's more progressive thinking than a lot of people in baseball.
Absolutely,
right now.
Is.
And I love that about him.
That he said a few weeks ago, I remember speeding up the game. He's like, personally, I don't feel like the game needs to be speeded up. But if you're going to, here's how you do it.
Right.
Like, let's stop messing around.
Yeah.
And he's kind of in that boat. Last night, a non-reviewable play during a rundown situation was kind of the big news of the 10th inning. Royals gave up 4 in that frame, but had a guy run down. It appeared he went out of the baseline. Ned Yost believed that was the case, but it was a non-reviewable call, even though he could go back and say, yeah, he's on the baseline.
Mm-hmm. And when Ned puts it, you know, how far that distance is, your arm's length, the dude was clearly out of the baseline.
Right. So he thinks there are other reviewable calls that baseball could take a look at.
Oh, there's so much more that can be reviewable. That play right there is absolutely reviewable. I mean, there's plenty of camera angles. And of course, when we went back and looked at the camera angle, you know, the rule is 3 feet. You can't veer from your fielder sets the baseline, and then it's 3 feet from that point. And Eske was in a spot. Now, your arm length is about 3 feet. So once you get outside that arm length, you've violated the rule.
Yep.
And, of course, he got there, Eske reached, and he jumped back probably 5 feet. So I think once you look at the replay, obviously you could tell that he was out of the baseline. But there's traps on the infield. There's, foul tips, you can look at and see, stuff like that. But, I just think there's a lot more now with the angles. Foul ball down the line. Is he running out of the 45-foot line? There's just a lot of things that they can see on video that's not reviewable, that should be reviewable in my estimation.
Without taking up much more time.
Right.
Like you said, they take one look, and they thought one look showed him he was out of the baseline last night. Done.
Done.
Yeah.
Bill
Duplessis is like super fast, right? The Royals.
Right.
He's unbelievable. Well, I'm sure that MLB has somebody that fast, right?
Yes.
They can make a quick judgment and move about our day. It just feels weird that certain things are not reviewable. I know it happens in all sports, and it's just like, really? If it's a key play, and that's what this one was, that looks like it could benefit from a second look, then you should be able to do it.
Well, and I think also, too, you want to not only get the calls right, but to slow the game down for another 2 minutes, that's really looking at it from the wrong angle. Baseball has so many other things to be worried about and ways that they can speed up the game. Looking at a review and getting a review wrong, I just think right now getting a play right is more important than speeding the game up.
Yes. I think in most instances that is the case. Get it right. I've always felt that with replay. Get it right. Do it in a fast manner.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, let's go ahead and get it right.
Right.
Ned Yost also liked Ryan's four-stage idea for baseball. Play a season in sections.
I'd vote for it. I like it. I think that's a great idea.
Well, good.
Call the commissioner.
I will. I'll give credit to Ryan Wachowski, our producer, for coming up with that idea yesterday. We were talking about ways to do it.
It seems it's worked in the minors to create some excitement, right? First half, second half. Seems to have been an okay way to go about it.
Yeah, it only makes sense. I mean, it does. It makes perfect sense. You know, break the season up into, you know, three sections or so. And, you know, it's a good idea. I like that idea.
There you go. We keep fans engaged. Ryan Wachowski comes up with his first, maybe more than that, brilliant idea.
Nope, that's the first and probably last.
Maybe.
Don't break your hand patting yourself on the back there, Ryan.
Get that thing trademarked. That's all I say. Get it trademarked now.
You better get it trademarked. I'm serious about that. K-Fan be stealing it.
The day shift's coming up next.
Is that your initial reaction?
Can't say that. Tased. The day shift comes your way in 2 minutes, and they'll be heading out to Arrowhead live coverage of the folks at Arrowhead talking about the World Cup bid coming to the Americas. More on that next.
They're on question 85 this morning on Good Morning Football. What were we on?
From the MVP Electric Heating and Cooling Studios, Fesco in the Morning, powered by the J.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.